I was just reading this a little bit, a couple of these. I look forward to reading what the answers my kids put in here. But my dad's superpower is what? So if you're a dad in the room and you don't have a tie this morning, there's just some interesting things our kids, the way they, you know, what we want them to think about us sometimes may not be exactly how they think about us. So I look forward to reading these later on. I also want to, on behalf of my wife and family, say thank you so much to you. And so many came and support and showed the practical love of Jesus Christ to my wife. I've got a couple pictures on the screen. She had a full knee replacement this past week. And she, there's a picture of the family after the knee replacement. Artie is walking and doing some stairs, and thank you. There's so many meals for us and an outpouring of love. And so just pray for pain management. If some of you have talked to me that you've had this procedure done, and some have great experience and some don't. And right now she's doing well. It's just pain management, as you can imagine, with 25 or so staples. So, but she's excited to have that procedure done so we can stay active with our active kids. So thank you on behalf of her and our family. Now, if you need extra sermon notes, just raise your hand and we'll have some that will bring it to you. And just so you know, we have family, kind of, we'll call this family worship today. And so that means our kids join us. So next week we won't, but then the next week after that, for kind of our July 4th Sunday, we'll have a family worship service again. So if you have a kid who likes to color along with the sermon, we call them coloring notes, and we've got some of those in the back. So we've got some crayons and some coloring notes. And so make sure you take full advantage of that. And if you're an adult and you want to do that as well, you go for it. So officially, happy Father's Day. Today's title in your notes is this: God's calling to be what I'm calling a champion dad. God's goal, God's calling on dads to be a champion dad, to win the championship his way, to win God's championship. Now, I don't know if you're into the NBA at all and you are pulling maybe for the Raptors, Toronto Raptors, to bring home Canada's first NBA championship, or maybe you're pulling for Golden State. I've got a picture on the screen of the Toronto Raptors winning the championship. And so, well, that's not the right one, but that's another character we'll talk about later. And John, there we go. And so there's a lot of dads that are in that picture and that are celebrating the NBA championship. Or maybe, I'm not into hockey at all, so I had to read up on actually who won, but some of you maybe are into hockey. But I got a picture of the, who just won? Who was this? Oh, that's right, the St. Louis Blues. And I understand it was their first championship, if I'm understanding correctly, for the NHL Stanley Cup. And so representing a lot of dads, and I also see some missing teeth in that picture as well. So that's why I picked that one. I thought, wow, hockey, that's a rough sport. And so although championships at any level are awesome and they are fun, but we're talking about something so much greater than a championship that comes with the NBA or that comes with the NHL, or that even in our little leagues that we're involved in. I'm talking about God presenting you with an award that says, you've been a champion dad. You've been a champion dad. I've got another picture on the screen. I think you'll see a father and a son holding hands centered on the cross. What does that look like? Where Jesus gives you his trophy, the cross, and you hoist that up with your family. You hoist that up with your kids and say, kids, family, church, we won. We did it. And we did it God's way. So there may be many of opportunities in your weeks and months and decades of your life to hoist up the cross and say, we did it. We did it with the strength of Jesus Christ. And so what does a champion dad look like? Number one in your notes, a champion dad points first to the greatness of God. The champion dad will make sure that his kids understand how great and magnificent our Almighty God is. The psalmist says in chapter 99, beginning in verse 1, the Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. Now, if you can picture your dad talking to you, or you as a dad talking to your kids, or granddad talking to the grandkids, and you're talking to them and saying, the Lord reigns. What does it mean to reign, Daddy? Well, the Lord rules. The Lord is in control. The Lord is the master. Okay, got it. Let the peoples tremble. But Daddy, Granddaddy, does that mean that I'm supposed to be scared of God? That he's a God that I should be scared of? No. What it means is to have a reverent respect for God, that you would be in awe of His greatness, that you are in awe of how awesome He is. Picture yourself breaking down this scripture to your kids. This God sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. And so kids, as we're talking to our kids, that He is above all. He is the greatest that there ever was, is, and will be. He is the one. You see, kids, we're getting this from His word, the Bible. And let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. What does it mean to be holy, Daddy? Listen, the God of the Bible is the perfect image of what it means to be holy. Perfect in all that He does. Perfect in all that He says. Perfect in motive, in action, in thought. He is holy. The champion dad understands as he begins to transfer this biblical information and necessary truth found in the Word of God to his kids. He begins to also bring application to his life and pass it on to his kids. In other words, he'll say, after a study of how great God is that is listed throughout his word, throughout scripture, I just picked out a couple of verses here, and then break it down personally and say, kids, what this means is that for the dads and for everyone, as we pass on the truth to the next generation, what it means is that this great God, He loves you. He says to you today and every day, I love you. Some of us grew up and didn't hear that too much. Some of us grew up and didn't hear it at all. Some of us grew up and heard it a lot. No matter what our earthly father has done, that our heavenly father says, no matter what, I love you. I'm for you. I am your hope. Tattoo this on your heart and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't ever forget that I love you and that I'm for you and that I'm your hope. Too many times we forget even those three things. He then says, listen, I'm faithful. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm the creator of life. I'm the sustainer of life. I'm the protector of life. I am your security. I will hold you forever. My sovereign arms will wrap around you and nothing can get you away from me. You are secure in me. He'll also say something like this. You need to understand that I am the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the absolute. I am sovereign. I'm in full control. I'm sitting comfortably on my throne. Nothing catches me by surprise. Absolutely nothing. Even the tragedy that has happened this past week, or the tragedy that's happened this past year, or the tragedies around the world, that I'm still on my throne, and even that has not caught me by surprise. He'll then say, I'm the victor. I will be glorified. I will be worshiped. I'll have the rocks even cry out to me. I came up with plan A and I don't need a plan B. My plan is good. My plan is in fact best. I have purpose in everything and nothing is wasted. God may say to the dad who passes on to the next generation as well, that I know everything. I know what you do. I know what you're thinking. I even know your motives, why you do what you do. I'm everywhere all at the same time. I see everything and I see you. I hear everyone and I even hear your cry for help. I'm above all. I'm the ultimate power source. Nothing is more powerful than me. Not cancer, not evil, not sin. I'm bigger than big. I'm bigger than 9/11. I'm bigger than ISIS. I'm bigger than Satan himself. I'm bigger than the best attempt that he can throw to stop my move. Evil tried to get my son Jesus, and they could not contain him. He conquered sin, and he conquered death, and he beat their very best shot. And then he may go on to say, listen, I care about you. I've saved you as you have chosen to follow my son. You are now mine, and I am now yours. I am your shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm your guide. I'm your life source. I'm the potter. I'm the painter. I'm the builder. I put together the puzzle of life. I put together life's painting. I'm molding the clay, and it's beautiful. One day, hold on, you'll see the beauty. Just hold on and trust me. In the meantime, keep hope because I'm comforting you. In the meantime, keep hope because I'm reshaping you. In the meantime, keep hope because I'm making you like my son. He may say something like this: I also offer you God-sized purpose. I offer you true satisfaction. I offer blessing. I offer healing. I offer life. I offer eternal life. I offer eternal forgiveness. I offer eternal salvation. My son is the bridge to eternal life in heaven. And so you won't be sick in heaven. You won't be broken in heaven. You won't be lonely. You won't be depressed. You won't be hungry. You won't be abused. You won't be tired. You won't be too busy to put me on your schedule. I will be your schedule. I stand at the gate and I wait for you. I have eternity with me waiting for you. I have forever waiting for you. I have streets of gold waiting for you. I have crowns waiting for you. I have angels waiting for you. Don't forget, I love you. I am for you. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm your hope. Tattoo that on your heart. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't ever forget that I love you, I'm for you, and I am your hope. May it be that as dads and granddads and mentors and people of influence that are investing in the next generation, father figures, may we communicate things like that as much as possible. Amen. Will you be a champion dad by recognizing the greatness of God? That everything that we just read and said is just a glimpse of how great God is and applied to our life, how special we are to Him. Number two in your notes, a champion dad follows Jesus, follows the Lord. In Joshua 24:15, I love, in Joshua's farewell speech to the Israelites, before he dies, Joshua challenged them, the people of God, to continue following the Lord. And so he's brought the people of God into the promised land. It's now time for Joshua to move on and go to heaven. But he has this awesome sermon in the last couple of chapters of Joshua. And I love this, and I know you've heard it. He says, listen, no matter what you choose to do when I'm gone, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Many of you have that put in your house somewhere. It's up in your house. It's on a desk. Make sure that it's in front of your eyes, that we commit and a champion dad commits on the behalf of the family that our family will serve the Lord. The champion dads, they've walked down the Romans road. We've gone over this before. The Romans road to salvation. Champion dads realize that they fall short of God's glory and God's perfection, according to Romans 3:23. Champion dads realize that. They realize that although they want to be perfect in front of their kids, they realize that they're not. They realize they fall short of God's perfect standard. Champion dads also realize, though, that God loves them even though they fall short, even when they fall short, even when we fall short today on Father's Day. Champion dads realize that God still loves them. Champion dads realize the consequence of falling short according to Romans 6:23, a real place the Bible calls hell. And they realize, though, at the same time, the gift that God has given those who choose to accept Him, the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, also according to Romans 6:23. Champion dads get that. Champion dads accept the gift of forgiveness according to 1 John 1:9. Forgiveness in the now, but also forgiveness in the forever, and they're going to be taking their kids down that Romans road. Make sure, you know, we live in a day and age where we outsource our kids to a lot of different things, and a lot of those things are good. We outsource them to teachers, or we outsource them to coaches, and we outsource them to youth pastors and things like that, but make sure, dads, that we understand that we need to answer the call of being a dad, and the high calling of being dad is making sure that you don't outsource spiritual leadership and investment of your family. Partner with others, but make sure you do what you're supposed to do as a dad, because we will be held accountable for that. And so champion dads understand that we're not perfect, but we serve the perfect one. Champion dads understand that we need forgiveness. And when we fall, it's good for our kids to see us fall, but know how to get back up again. It's good for our kids to understand that we will fail, and we fail often, but we are striving to live for the perfect one, Jesus Christ, and it's His perfect blood that makes us acceptable to the Holy Father. And that's how we get back up again. And that's the journey of life. And how about this? The champion dad has a current, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So in other words, I love telling stories from way back in the day, but I also love telling stories from yesterday. So here's the problem. If I left Jesus a decade ago, but had a lot of stories for Jesus from a decade ago until I was younger, those would be all the stories I share. And my kids may ask me, but Dad, we love your stories, but do you have any stories where you've been interacting with Jesus in the past decade? Because everything's about when you're younger. May it be so that champion dads have stories not just from 10 years ago, not just from 5 years ago, but from last week when he interacted with Jesus, from yesterday when he interacted with Jesus, through that tough time that the family went through, but they saw him seeking God's guidance, or through the big promotion at work, they saw the humility and gave credit to God. What does that look like? For the champion dad, he has a growing current relationship with Jesus because he realizes that God is not only their master and leader, but also Savior, but also his friend. His friend that will walk with him through the hills and through the valleys. They see an authentic, real relationship that's not just head knowledge, but it for sure is heart knowledge. And they see that friendship between their dad and their Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Champion dads move forward after falling and receiving forgiveness towards God's calling as they realize after falling short at different times in life, but they receive forgiveness. How hard is this? To receive forgiveness and actually move forward. Satan wants us to get stuck in whatever bad decision that we made. Right? Has anyone been there? I have. He wants us to get stuck right there. Well, then what would the gift of forgiveness be? God says, I give you the gift of forgiveness, and I remember that sin no more as far as the east is from the west. And so therefore, receive and unwrap that gift and move forward to the great things that I still have for you. I have a calling still for you. I have a mission still for you. Yeah, but I'm stuck. God, I've made poor choices that I've messed up, and I can't get time back with my kids that I've messed with and I've avoided or whatever it may be. Listen, bring it to God. Receive forgiveness and move forward towards God's great calling for your life. Listen, we move forward. Champion dads, we'll move forward if we aim to be that champion dad towards God's calling as we realize that building the spiritual resume is much more important than building our own. Now get that, because it's very tempting to continue to build our resumes that are awesome according to earthly standards from a horizontal perspective. But champion dads make sure that, yes, that's important because we have horizontal things to do, but we need to make sure that we build our spiritual resume so that when God calls, we're eligible to represent His call. Will you be a champion dad who follows Jesus? Number three in your notes, a champion dad answers God's call. He answers God's call. And so I want you to think back to Moses answering God's call to deliver Israel, God's chosen people from captivity. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God says to Moses, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, Moses, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. What a God-sized calling. How about Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6? God tells Joshua to finish what Moses started to actually bring the people of God into the promised land. And God says to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6, Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. A high calling that Joshua answered. How about Isaiah? Isaiah answering the call of God in chapter 6 and also in chapter 61. First in chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah answering the call of God. Isaiah in chapter 61, another calling from God, where the Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me, Isaiah writes, because the Lord has anointed me. This is in beginning in verse 1 of chapter 61. The Lord has anointed me to do what? And he goes on in the next couple of verses to list practically what he's a specific calling that he wants Isaiah to accomplish. The Lord has anointed me to do what? To bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion. And so this is very specific. Champion dads are seeking after God and asking, God, may you give me the courage to first hear your specific callings that you want me to do today, this week, this year, over the decade, over my lifetime. God, and also give me the courage to answer that call. God may very well give you specific missions that you will have the honor to go on and complete and answer in victory. Champion dads are seeking after those spiritual moments to answer God's call. Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 10. Of his book. See, I have set you this day over nations and overcome kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do in your current context. But by the way, we've gone over this verse before in this passage, that there's gospel all in and throughout this calling that was going to point to hundreds of years later, fulfilled in Jesus Christ conquering sin and overcoming sin and conquering, overcoming death so that we may have life. Before you build and plant, there must be destruction and sin to be overthrown. Jeremiah, specific calling. How about Samuel? God calls Samuel to communicate a tough message to Eli. If you remember this story, Eli, the priest at the time, who had some kids that were just operating in evil. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, and the Lord came and stood calling, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Sometimes God's calling on our life will be a tough one. It will be a difficult one. It may not be a cheerleader one. It may be one where you need to confront or stand up or stand in the gap or stand out or stick up for truth in some sort of a situation where our culture is moving away from truth. And Samuel continued to answer God's call time and time again. Of course, we got Jesus in and of his life and throughout his life, every day, the perfect one, God's son, answering God's call. Specifically, I think about the Garden of Gethsemane. Right before he's to be arrested, Jesus says, God the Father, is there any other way to accomplish what you want to do? Because it's going to hurt. From the human perspective, it's going to hurt. And in the same breath, he said, but it's not about me, it's about you, God. So whatever you want me to do, I am all in for your plan. And from our perspective, we say, even if we don't understand the why behind the what. Have you been there? Even if God wants you to do something or you've been through something and you go, how does this fit into my life journey? How does this fit into my life mapped out to bring you glory? God, this doesn't seem to make sense. But it's in those moments where it's completely critical to where we say, God, even though we don't understand, we trust you. We trust you. Now, in the depths of the valley type situations that a lot of us have been in, how difficult is that? Will you trust them in the depths of the valleys? Because God is there with you. And champion dads understand that and will hold on to the fingertips of Almighty God as God brings him through those moments. And you will get through those moments. And we don't understand why we necessarily have to go through those moments. But God does. Trust in him. Champion dads, trust in God, in his character, in his plan. Paul's called to reach the Gentiles, which we learn about in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. And in that context of that story, the Lord speaks to Ananias about Paul. And he's putting all this together. Saul, who persecuted Christians, now is going to be the one to bring Christianity to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. And Ananias is going, excuse me? Are we talking about the right Paul? Because he hadn't been doing too well for you lately. Ananias, I am choosing him. I'm going to get all kinds of glory with the life change that's going to come about from Saul turned to Paul. You watch. He's going to write most of my New Testament so that you be seers 2,000 years from now. We'll be able to read about what's going to happen right now. Ananias, he is a chosen instrument of mine to do what? To carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Paul answered that call. So will you be a champion dad and answer God's call for your life? Lastly, number four, and Diane, you talked about this earlier. A champion dad spells love. T-I-M-E. A champion dad spells love, lives out love with his kids, with his family, with those in his sphere of influence by spending time. By spending quality time. God says to the parents of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now listen, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to who? To your children, to your kids, to the next generation. But how do you teach something, dads, if you don't know it? How do you teach something with experience if you don't have experience? How do you teach something and answer the questions that your kids have for you when you haven't experienced what you're teaching? So you love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so the champion dad has a sold out, all in relationship for Almighty God. So you shall teach these things to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise and when you take your kids to get ice cream and when you take your kids to go play baseball and when you do this and when you do that, you are operating in spirit power looking for teachable moments. Sometimes the teachable moments are when we fail as a coach, when we fail as a parent, or when we celebrate as a coach or celebrate as a parent or whatever that is on life's journey. Look at that journey through an eternal perspective, through God's eyes. And when there's a moment that pops up, and in my family, there's a lot of moments, and I miss a lot of them. When they pop up, you demonstrate that you love your kids by pausing in our world that likes to fast forward through everything. You stop. You pause and you maximize that moment. That could be the moment. That could be a critical memory in your kid's life that they remember past college and beyond. It was that moment. You thought it was a little moment, a moment you could have breezed over, a moment you maybe even could have ignored. But it was that moment. It wasn't the stuff you bought for your kids. But it was that moment that at their wedding or at their college graduation or high school graduation or whatever it may be, that they remember back and say, Dad, thank you for demonstrating your love for me, because in the middle of the busyness and craziness of our world, you stopped and you taught me this. Dads, we won't even remember those moments probably. What are you talking about? What moment? Paul says to the church of Ephesus to maximize the moment. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, Paul says to the church of Ephesus, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. You look for those quality time moments. So will you be a champion dad who shows your family you love them by spending time with God first and then them second? So the question this morning is, will I, will you, will we be a champion dad? I often think about this story. You can put the John Elway picture back up. I think I've shared with this with you before, maybe years ago, but I always think about men that just have some impact on their kids' lives. And it was a moment where John Elway was being inducted into the Hall of Fame, Super Bowl quarterback, and his daughter was giving a part of the inductee speech to introduce her dad. And she had a moment that he probably didn't even recognize at all. But, you know, my dad was awesome, and he was in the Coast Guard Olympics and all kinds of athletics. But being in the NFL, you know, having a dad, you know, that's in the NHL or professional sports, and you've got 100,000, 80,000 people every week cheering on your dad. I mean, I don't know what that looks like or feels like to be in that type of spotlight, but it's amazing that, you know, we see these families go into the games and the kids are enjoying it. You think, what does that kid think about their dad? Do they even realize how what their dad is accomplishing in the sports world, whatever? And so one of John Elway's daughters says, I forget if he has multiple or not, but this particular daughter says that her Super Bowl moment was each Sunday when her dad would simply turn around and just wave to her. She wasn't even watching the plays. Maybe didn't even understand what was going on. But the time she was little and as she grew up, she would wait for the moment. Maybe it was after a touchdown. Maybe it was during the middle of something or just on the sideline. He would look back, lock eyes, and give her a wave. That is what impacted her. It wasn't the Super Bowls. She didn't mention the money. She didn't mention the fame. She didn't mention all the access that they had because their dad was in the limelight. She said, Dad, thank you for waving to me. I want to believe she said every game. Maybe it wasn't every game. But thank you for, man, dads, sometimes we get caught up in our own world. Let's make sure that at the end of this whole thing, we're able to hoist up that trophy called the cross with our kids gathered around us, giving God glory, building our spiritual resumes along the way, that would be the legacy. They may talk about our jobs. They may talk about things that we're involved in. But the overwhelming moments, spiritual moments, that their champion dad invested in them.